All right, we're beginning here with the Mishnah on the bottom of Chaf Gimel and Aleph. V'chein shnei anashim, two individuals, zeomer kohen ani, v'zeomer kohen ani. Each one of them declares themselves to be a kohen. Enan ne'manim, they're not believed. The person's not believed to say that they are a kohen. V'zman shem me'idim zed ze, in an instance where they're testifying about each other, harelu ne'manim, then it's fine. According to the Tana Kama here, it's clear that Eid Echad is sufficient to declare someone a Kohen. So if each one of them testifies about the other, then we do declare them Kohenim. We're not Choshesh LeGomlim. We don't worry about the fact that they're colluding over here in order to make each of them a Kohen. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Malim LeKuna Al Pi Eid Echad. Rabbi Yehuda is clear that there's no way you can use an Eid Echad in order to declare someone or give them the status of a Kohen. And therefore, it doesn't matter that they're testifying about each other. They need to edim in order to make this individual or grant him the status of a kohen. Amar Rabbi Lazar, imatai b'makom sheish orin. That's only when there were aspersions, there were problems with the yichus of this individual. B'makom shein orim malim l'kuna pi edachad. Then we do, in a case where there's no questions, edachad is sufficient. So he differs from the Tana Kama on that point, which is, the Tana Kama says, Eid Echad is always sufficient, whereas Rabbi Elazar says that it's sufficient as long as there are no questions. As soon as questions arise, then we're going to require two Eidim and not Eid Echad. Shimon Gamliel, Omer Mishim Rabbi Shimon ben Askan, Malin Dikuna, Al Pi Eid Echad. That we do allow an Eid Echad to be Malin Dikuna, as Aram Rashi points out, Hechad Deleka Gomlim. There's no reason to believe that they are colluding, or that they are working one for the other. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says that Eid Echad works, but as long as there is no issue of two of them coming, one scratching his back, the other one scratching his back, then we believe the Eid Echad. So those are the three different opinions here that we have about Eid Echad. Rabbi Yehuda is very clear that he requires two Eidim. Everybody else agrees that Eid Echad is sufficient. The Tana Kama says it's always sufficient, Eid Echad. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says Eid Echad is sufficient as long as there's no problem of collusion. They don't look like they're colluding. And Rabbi Elazar says, Eid Echad is always good as long as there's no questions. If there are questions that arise, then you need to edim. Gemara says, Kohane Lamali. Why do we need all the Mishnayot in our Perek? Every Mishnah in our Perek says the same thing. A Pesha Asur, a Pesha Hitir. It's a very basic principle that keeps repeating itself, which is that if someone gives us information, then we're going to believe their whole statement. If we don't have evidence to the contrary, and we don't have any other evidence that a part of it we knew already, so we don't need to believe them on the other half. So if that's the case, just consolidate and have it in one Mishnah. Gemara says, Tzriche, we need all of them. Ditana Mode Rabbi Yeshua. If we had the case, this is the first Mishnah in the Perek, where Rabbi Yeshua agrees. That's the case by the Sadeh, where he says, this was your father's Sadeh, and I bought it from him. So over there we need that case, because, Mishum De'ika Drarura De Mamona. Because we have Drarura De Mamona, Drarura Mamona is a terminology that's used in the Gemara in the beginning of Bava Metzia. It's also used by Sumchus and Bava Kama. And the Rishonim argue about what its meaning is. Rashi and Tosafot disagree in all these places what Drarura Mamona is. Rashi Lishitato over here says what Drarura Mamona means is that Hefsed Mamon, where there's a monetary loss involved in the issue, which is here, the person doesn't say anything, of course he'll keep the field, but when he speaks up and says, this is your father's field, and I purchased it, then he has money on the line. Meaning that people don't believe him. If they don't accept his dinah, he's going to lose this field. So there's a monetary loss involved in his testimony for himself. That's why Rashi describes drarura de mamona, that there's a plausibility or possibility of monetary loss to the individual. On the other hand, Tosafot quotes the Rabbeinu Hananel, who says that there is someone who is muhzak in the sadeh. He, right now, is utilizing the field. He is the one that is assumed to be the owner of the field. He has control over the field. So, drarur de mamona means that he is in the field itself. So that's what the first thing is, that if we just had the case in the first Mishnah where he talks about the field, either he should be believed because there's hefsed mamon, or because he's muhzak. He actually is the one holding the field currently. Aval edim, deleka drarur de mamona, by Edim, where they don't have that. Edim are not going to lose anything from their testimony. No matter which way the case goes, they lose no money. And they don't have any chazaka in the property. They don't have any rights here. Emalo, maybe we wouldn't believe them. Because if you don't have skin in the game, maybe we shouldn't believe them. V'itana edim, if we had the case by edim, witnesses that come to testify, mishum dila alma. Because over there, they're testifying for a third party. They're not necessarily nogeya badavar. They're saying, this is the information that we have, but it doesn't affect them personally. It helps the other individual, but not them. About ihu, in the case of the Sadeh, the first Mishnah, Iyula Nafshe, shame alone that we wouldn't believe him. He's doing it for his own benefit. He's a, in a sense, no geya, but davar. So because of that, we say, maybe the first two Mishnayot, we wouldn't have automatically come to the conclusion, because we had one, that the other is true. So therefore, now we have a reason why we need the Mishnah by Sadeh, where he speaks for himself, and we also need the Mishnah by Edim to tell us in both those cases, we say, Pesh Asur, Pesh Yitir. If we had these two, mishum de mimona, because those are monetary matters. Those issues by the edim and the issue by himself, what we say that they are believed. Over there, they're talking about monetary issues, and maybe we say peshas or peshahitir by monetary issues. But ishrish, the surah, when we're talking about a woman or a married woman, you're testifying about her status, maybe over there, we wouldn't believe you, or we wouldn't accept Peshas or Peshahitir, because that's a much more serious issue. That's an issue of Isur. Same below. Maybe over there we would not extrapolate to say that Peshas or Peshahitir. That's why we need that. Nishbeti bitahora ani lomali. Then after I know all that information, then what is that extra section of, I was taken captive by Torani, what do I need that for? Mishum de kabay lemitne, because it needs to tell you the last line in the Mishnah. Because at the end of the Mishnah, it says that if that woman got married, even though technically she shouldn't have l'chatchila, but then Edim come after the fact, she doesn't have to get divorced if they come after the fact. Once we've given clearance, the Edim after the fact don't impact there on Shepesha Asur Pesha Yitir. So that is why we needed that extra piece of the Mishnah, the Seifa of the Mishnah. It says, Anichal manda amar d'matni la Seifa. That works well according to Rabba Bar Avin, who says that that's going on the latter half of the Mishnah. So then that's the Chiddush of the Seifa of the Mishnah. But according to Rabbi Oshaya, Alamanda Matni La Resha, Ma'ikal Meimar, according to Rabbi Oshaya, what are you going to say? He thinks that line goes on the entire Mishnah. So you could have written that line even if you didn't have the case of the captive. You could have written that on the line of the Grusha, because he says it applies to that case as well. So you don't need that latter case just to teach you that Kiddush. Because the Gemara says, Mishum dekabay lemitna shtei nashim shenishbu. Because it came to teach you about two women that were taken into captivity. So then, shtei nashim shenishbu lamali. So then, what do I need the case of shtei nashim shenishbu? If you're telling me the reason I wrote about one woman who was taken into captive is because I have two women who are taken into captive, is the next Mishnah. What do I need that for? Maudeteima nichush legomlim. Because in that case, we would have been afraid to say that they maybe we do not believe them because they are colluding. Kamash Balon, that we don't worry about collusion. All right, if we don't worry about collusion, then why do we need the Mishnah here? Avchein shnei anashim. What's the purpose of our Mishnah over here? Chein shnei anashim, lamali. Mishum dekai b'mitnei plukta d'Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan. Because we have a machloket. This Mishnah is subject to a machloket about whether we worry about collusion or we don't worry about collusion. The Tanakhama or the other individuals in the Mishnah, Chutz Mi, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, believe that we don't worry about Gomlim, we don't worry about collusion. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says we do worry about collusion. So therefore, we needed this Mishnah to teach us that machloket. Tan Rabbanan, Ani Kohen, V'chaveri Kohen Ne'eman L'achilo B'tshuma, V'ne'eman L'asiyo Isha, Ashiu Gimel Shnayim Me'edim Azeh, U'Shnayim Me'edim Azeh. So our Mishnah, which tells us that if they scratch each other's backs and say, he is a Kohen, and the other guy says, he's a Kohen, then we believe them. But we only believe them as far as granting them the right to eat Truma. But they are not granted the right, as Rashi says over here, Lasio Isha, Malahi Biyuchasin. There's an extra level or an extra care that we take with regards to Yichus, which is the ability to marry and to take a wife. Over here, we are very careful about those issues, and we will not just allow them to marry because someone or one individual called them a Kohen. There we are worried about Gomlin, there we are worried about collusion, but not because generally we worry about collusion, but because Yuchasin, and we've seen this before, Chazal and the Kohanim put an extra premium on Yichus, and therefore they will not allow that to go through without more evidence of the fact that they are Kohanim. Now, Tosafot over here quotes Rashi, even though it's not in our Rashi over here, but he quotes Rashi that seemingly comes from the next daf, which is the Chashash over here. What is the Chashash? What are we worried about in terms of Yichusim? Rashi seems to indicate that it's a problem of Mamzerut and Nitinut. We worry about these people being Psulei Akal, and therefore we won't let them marry the Kohanim. Tosafot, on the other hand, says we don't generally worry about Mamzer and Nitina. Those aren't regular worries that we worry about in terms of people getting married. They're not the types of Psulim that either people don't know about it. They're obviously people know about them, or we don't worry about them. And therefore, Tosafot says, Nir L'Rabbeinu Tam, L'Osiyah Isha, D'Kamayin L'Osiyah, B'duka Midalit Imahot. That is the requirement that you check four mothers back in Yichus in order to determine whether this person is Miuchas. If you go back four mothers and then you check and everything's fine, then you can assume that this individual is fine or is Miuchas Lekuna. And that's what it's referring to, the Gemara in Kiddushin that says that that's the check for Yichusim, is four mothers back. But then Tosafot also adds in that he thinks that the real Chashash over here, or the thing they're worried about, is not Mamzerut v'nitinut, but rather Chalalim. They're worried about a Kohen Chalal, because that is, as we said earlier, Chalalim shebineihem. When they had the Chalalim, were lost. When it comes to Mamzerut and Nitinut, people knew, because those are serious things, issues of the cow. When it comes to Chalalim, people don't keep track. Since they don't keep track with regards to Chalalim, that's something that can get lost. And that's what they were checking for over here, Chalalim. Even though the issue of Chalal comes on the father's side, not the mother's side. Mother can't make the individual into a halal. You only make a halal because of the father's side. So tell us what it says. That's what it meant. When we're checking already for halal, we also check the mothers. While we're going back, we're going to check both sides and go back the four generations to make sure that a person's bill of yichus is clean. And that's what it's meant by the yichus over here, that they can't get married until we have better evidence. And not like Rashi suggested that the problem is the problem that we worry about mamzerut and nitinut. Right, well, the Asiyo Isha means that they're going to marry him into those families that have Yichus. The Kohanim only allow their daughters to marry into people who have Yichus. And then the same is there were certain families of Israelim that had this special status of Yichus. And they only wanted to marry people who had these clean bill of health when it came to their Yichus. So here, if, first of all, he may not be a Kohen. And therefore, they're marrying him assuming he is a Kohen, and maybe he's not. And then he's also maybe a Psul Kahal according to Rashi. And therefore, we worry about the fact that he's a mamzer, or he's an anatin. So because of that, we don't want to set him up in a shidduch where people only want to marry into these families that are miyuchasim. So that's the direct problem here, is the women marrying who are miyuchasim marrying him. His issue is whether, because of whatever his father or his mother's status was, is he someone who is a pasul? According to Rashi, is he a mamzer, anatin? According to Tosafot, is he a halal? And therefore, he's disqualified from being someone who is miyuchas. All right. So then, based on the Braita, what the Braita says is, or qualifies our Mishnah, and says that as far as them speaking for each other, or been testifying with each other, then we only believe them with regards to Truma, but we don't regard them to the higher standard of Yichusin, until we have Gimel. Gimel means three parties here. Two of them testify about one, and then two of them testify about the other, and that's how you have two Edim that testify about the individual. There'll have to be a third party that's independent over here, obviously, if they're testifying about each other. A, B, and C. A and B will testify about C, and B and C will testify about A. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af enu ne'eman achilo b'truma. Truma is not even good enough. Ad she'eish losha shnaim meidim azeh shamil nezeh. Rabbi Yehuda, similar to his Shita in our Mishnah, who says, Ein malin nekuna p'yed achad. Says, V'hir, even for Truma, I require two edim. Over here, we don't believe individuals, even though generally in these situations, Eid Echad is Ne'aman, and even if a person declares himself a Kohen, we normally, in these types of situations, we believe people as far as their status is concerned. The reason that we don't by Kehuna is because there's too much to gain. This individual, if they're declared to be a Kohen, gets significant benefits from that. I mean, today it's less so, and that actually may change the din today. The din today may be that because being a Kohen is almost a burden, not a benefit today. Today, the only thing that being a Kohen does is, number one, you can't become Tamei. So it has this issues in terms of Tumata Mate, which cause significant difficulty for individuals. That's number one. Number two is they have to get up and do Nesiyot Kapayim. They have to get up and Dochen. which, okay, maybe they consider that to be a kavod, but that's also something maybe a burden. And as well as the fact that you can't marry a grusha and a chalutza today, maybe they get the first aliyah. That's maybe the only benefit, but then they can't get other aliyot. There are definitely deficits in being a kohen today, and all the benefits that existed in the past, where you got shuma, where you got chodashim, all the benefits, zroah l'chaim and keba, all of those things that were benefits don't exist today. So today, declaring yourself a kohen, we might have a lower standard, or we might believe people, because declaring themselves kohenim doesn't really do anything to their benefit. In their day, it's very clear that declaring yourself a kohen means that you get all these social services, that you basically get fed, you get taken care of. There are many benefits to it, and that's why they were much more careful or much more suspect about people coming and saying that they were a kohenim, because there were significant benefits to being a kohen. So today it's all a burden, and that's why actually we don't have as strong a standard, or we don't worry as much about people declaring themselves kohenim, because by declaring themselves a kohen, they're basically limiting themselves instead of expanding their benefits. If they're willing to lie to make themselves into kohenim, most people aren't that forward-looking, that they're going to say, ah, if Mashiach comes tomorrow, if I'm a kohen, this is a really good benefit for my family. I may as well be a kohen now and suffer today. If he's willing to lie to do it, he wants some benefit today. And therefore, I don't think we would worry about this person is so tuned in to Mashiach that he really feels being a kohen is going to be to his benefit. To lie, to do that, people won't lie for a future benefit that's uncertain. Here, they're going to then have to take on a burden today for an uncertain benefit in the future. They're like mortgaging their present in order to get the future, but they're not even sure that future is going to be in their lifetime or to their benefit. People usually will not lie to do that. Right. The Memra, from this Mishnah and the Braita that we just had, it seems that the Rabbi Yehuda chayish legomlim, Rabbi Yehuda worries about people colluding, Rabbanan lo chayish legomlim. And the Rabbanan, the Tanakama, and the others in our Mishnah don't worry about this issue of collusion. Don't we find that their opinions are reversed in another place? It's not. Hachamarim shenichnasu le'ir. You have two donkey drivers who come into the city. They're bringing produce from areas that are cheaper into the cities to sell. V'amar echad mehem sheli chadash v'shel chaveri yashan. My stuff is new, but my buddy's stuff is old. Sheli eni mutukan. My stuff is not have my throat and trumot taken off of it. V'shel chaveri mitukan. But his stuff has trumot and masrot taken off of it. Eino ne'eman. He is not believed in this instance because we worry about the fact that they are gomlim, they are colluding. He says, look, we'll go into this city, you'll recommend my stuff, and say that your stuff's no good. Next city we go into, we'll just do it the opposite way around, and they'll help each other out. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ne'eman. Rabbi Yehuda says they are believed to testify about each other. So over here you see that Rabbi Yehuda says we don't worry about collusion, and the Chachamim say we do worry about collusion. Now David's question as to what Chadash and Yashan is over here is somewhat difficult. Rashi, in another place, says that Chadash and Yashan refer to here the crossover of the Omer, which is literally Chadash v'Yashan, which is the Isor to eat grains from the current year before they cross over the Omer, until they become Yashan. Chadash, Yashan, that's exactly what it's speaking about. Rashi over here himself does not say that. And the reason is because the answers of the Gemara will not address that issue. The Gemara is going to give an answer as to why Rabbi Yehuda's position is different over here. And that answer will not suffice if we say that Chadash and Yashan are really talking about new and old in terms of the Omer crossing over the Omer. There is another opinion, the Rashba. Tosfos quotes the Rashba who says, Chadash and Yashan here is a reference to Shvi'it, in the Shemitah here now. And he says that the Mishnayot and Shemitah sometimes use the word Chadash to mean things that came during the Shemitah year. And Yashan to refer to Shishit, the sixth year stuff. So Chadash and Yashan refers to Shvi'it. And again, here the answer that the Gemara gives might work, but it's not so great. And then in the end, Tosfot says the Rabbeinu Tam really likes Rashi's Pshat over here. And Rashi says Chadash v'Yashan is simply about the quality of the Tfuah, which is the Stam Yashan Tov Min HaChadash. Older grain is better than newer grain, because the newer grain is moist. And you can't mill the moist grain. You have to then roast it in order to dry it out, in order to mill it. That's what they have to do for the Omer. Since the Omer comes from the new grain, it comes caramel, then they have to put it onto the roasters in order to dry it out. Otherwise, you can't mill wet or moist grain. because the kernels aren't going to crush. They're going to mush instead of crush. So then, chadash versus yashan. Yashan is worth more, because once it's dried out, you could mill it immediately. It's ready to go. It can be processed immediately. So because of that, yashan has a higher value than chadash. So that's what Rashi says over here. The chadash and yashan are not halachic issues, but simply quality issues. His stuff is older, so it's better quality. My stuff is the newer stuff, it's lower quality. And it's clear that they got a lower price for newer grain than older grain. Dry grain was worth more than moist grain, because if you bought the moist grain, you had to wait in order to it dry out. And that's the question. The Gemara, Rashi quotes the Gemara from Bava Metzia and Ezu Neshech about buying at one point and giving back at another point. If he borrows during the harvest season, and then he pays it back as dry, is that implied interest? Because he's giving back really more value than he took. And the difference between them is time. So because of the time factor, he's now paying back something worth more value. Is that called interest because of that? But that's exactly what it means. It means that the value of Yashan is much more than the value of Chadash. And that's what's meant by the story over here. So now, Amar Rav Adar Bar Ava, Amar Rav, Mukhlefet Hashita. Their positions are reversed. Seems here that the reversal of the positions is from the Mishnah and Dmai, because as far as we're concerned here, we have a Mishnah, our Mishnah, that says their positions are this way, plus we have a Braita that corroborates our Mishnah and says that that's the position of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. So when we say Mukhlevet HaShita, we're most likely saying switch the Mishnah and Dmai around and flip their positions. We flip their positions in Dmai, then they are consistent. Abaye Amar Lo'olam Lo Tipuch. Don't flip their positions. We can reconcile between the difference in their opinions. Bidamai, hekilu. By Damai, they were mekil because Rov Amearetz masrin him. Majority of Amearetz took off masrot. Damai, and today we have the same problem today with regards to Trumot Masrot. Damai is a safek in whether Trumot Masrot were taken off from this item. So then we take off Trumot Masrot misafek in order to ensure that there's not a problem. But when we take it off misafek, the rules are slightly different. Because what we're trying to do is remove the Iser from the object. But in terms of the monetary issues, you would keep the money because of Motzi Mechavereo La Vareya. And therefore, since you're holding the item, a Kohen or a Levi's got to prove that this really needed Trumot Masrot to be taken off in order for you to give it. The Gemara in other places tells us, as far as Truma Gedola is concerned, that the Amei Aretz were believed to take off Truma Gedola. First of all, because Truma Gedola has no shiur. Since it has no shiur, you take off one kernel and you're done. So Truma Gedola is no big deal. Plus, it has an Isor, Mita Bidei Shamayim. So the Amarites were worried about that. When it came to other items, first of all, like Maaser, where there's a monetary loss, there they were Chashud. Number two is with Trumat Maaser. They were also Chashud because they didn't realize that if you don't take off Maaser Rishon, you can't take off Trumat Maaser, and Trumat Maaser is a Chiyuv Mita. So today, when we deal with Damai, actually many times we also take off Truma Gedola, because it's not a big deal. You can take off anything. Any amount would be fine. We segregate the Maaser Rishon and say this section is Maaser Rishon, and then we take off the Trumat Maaser, because that's what you gotta get out, because you can't eat the Trumat Maaser, and the Truma Gedola and Trumat Maaser are what you take out, even when you're doing it Vivadai. That's the pieces that we take out, because those go to the Kohanim, and that you can't eat. Everything else you could eat. Now, when it's Vadai needs Trumat Maaserot, then the Maaser Rishon needs to go to the Levi, the Maaser Ani needs to go to the Aniim, and the Maaser Sheni you need to redeem. In a case where it's Demai, all three of those items will remain with you. Because since you're taking them off only Misafek, since it's a fake, the Mamon stays with the person who's Mukzak, that's you. And then if the Kohen, the Levi, or the Ani want them, they gotta prove that you needed to take off, which they can't, obviously, because it's a fake about these items. But Demai is Tvua, where it came from in Amaretz, we're uncertain about the fact whether they took off Trumot Masrot. In addition to that, they did a survey, and they figured out that Rov Amaretz actually do take out Masru Rishon. So over here, this chashash is a chashash for miyut, even though it's a miyut of matsui. Like whenever we deal with rov is a difficult term, because majority can be 51%, majority can be 90%. Question if it's a super majority or a regular majority. But the seemingly here, it's not clear, because the Rishonim argue about this, is that this was not a super majority, it was a majority. And therefore there was a significant minority that did not take off Trumot to Masrot. And since it involves in terms of Trumat Maser that's not removed, the Chachamim insisted that you take off Misafek again, and there's very little monetary loss in taking it off. It's all of you lose 1%, a little more than 1% to do this because you keep everything else. And therefore they said, let's do this in order to be sure. So that's what it says here. In many instances, when it came to demai, the chachamim have kulot. And that's true by, for instance, we feed armies. When the armies show up in town, they give them demai. To machloket, Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, we pass on like Beit Hillel says we can feed them demai. We feed the aniim demai. Also, again, cases where the chachamim are mekiel with regards to demai. So same thing over here. As far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, the reason that he says we don't worry about collusion by the case of demai is because be demai hekilo. We have a lower standard in terms of believability by demai because rov ameyaretz already masrim. So if they are colluding, we are less worried about them colluding over here. We're not going to be as suspect. By Kohanim, there's a real reason to be suspect about them taking all these benefits and therefore helping each other out and declaring each other a Kohen. So Amarova, Derbyuda, Kasha, Derabanan, no Kasha. The answer that you gave solves the problem for Rabbi Yehuda. What about the Rabbanan? Why do the Rabbanan over here say we don't worry about collusion? And by the case of Masrot, we do worry about collusion. Ella, Derbyuda, no Kasha, Kiddushaninan. The reason that the question is not on Rabbi Yehuda is based on what Abayi says here because of Demai. Because of this qualification of Rabbi Chama Bar Ukva, when his working utensil is in his hand, so to over here, that is, utensil is in hand. Rashi says over here, chamar, a donkey driver that's bringing produce to sell. He has some sort of utensil in his hand, which makes it clear he's not doing this for his own benefit. He's not doing this for personal use, but he's doing it for sale, which means like he carries around what actually calls a machak, which is that when you want to measure something, a dry measure, they used to wipe off the top so that it was flat to the measure. So that machak, that stick that they used to wipe off the top, he's carrying that around, then there's obvious that he's trying to sell his tevuah. That we're Anan Sade, that the reason he's carrying this tevuah around is not to be nice, and it's not for his personal use, and you just happen to come across him. It's because he intends to sell. And if he intends to sell, then we know that there's a reason to believe that there's collusion over here. By the Kohanim, there's no reason to believe that there is collusion, because they're just regular people coming and say that we're a Kohanim. Over here, these guys are clearly selling tevuah, and they have a vested interest in selling. Since they have a vested interest in selling, we worry about the fact that they are taking care of each other in order to promote their sales. And that's why we do not believe them in that instance. That's the way Rashi explains it. The Rabbeinu Chanan, Tosafot quotes over here, says, Ze omer alav shu kohen, yesh b'yado kelim, shemeshamim behen tahara. That he says that kelim and ato b'yado is not about the chamar, it's not about the donkey driver, but about the kohanim. That this one who says that he's a kohen, says that he's walking around with kohanim utensils. That means that the utensils you're carrying around are things that only people who keep Tara, Tuman Tara, carry around. So there's evidence of the fact that he is a Kohen. The fact that he has all these trappings that only a Kohen would have, that bolsters the believability of him being a Kohen. So the Rach says that the answer of the Gemara here is telling you why by Kohen are they believed? Because he's walking around with trappings of a Kohen. Whereas Rashi says the explanation here is telling you why by Chamarim we don't believe them. Because they're walking around with utensils that say they sell, and most people agree with Rashi over here that it makes more sense. There are difficulties with the Rabbeinu Chananel's pshat, even in the flow of the Gemara, and the way that it's written. So therefore, Rashi's pshat seems more plausible here, which is we're explaining why the Chamarim are not believed, and not why the Kohen is believed. The Gemara says, Ve'eche itmar de Rabbi Chama Bar Ukva. You said, just like Rabbi Chama Bar Ukva says over there, we're talking about Kli Munato, so too over here. Where does he say it? Aha, Ditznan. That's on this Mishnah. Hakadar sheniach derutav ve'arad lishtot. A potter that makes jugs and utensils and all sorts of things, that he left his utensils and went down to the river to drink. Hapnimiyot teorot v'chitzinot temeyot. The inner ones are tahor, the outer ones are temeyot. It's not clear here. You could read that one of two ways. Inner ones mean the ones inside the other pottery. Or it could mean the ones that are further out and the ones that are closer to him. So the question is, who came into contact? We worry about the fact that Amaretz, in the meantime, came into contact with these kelim and made them tameim. So again, the outer kelim would be tameh because he would come into contact with them. The ones that are inside, he wouldn't come into contact with, and therefore they would be tohorim. Or the ones that are closer to the public venue, those would be tameh because they're easily accessible. The ones that are closer to him, they can't get to, so they'd be torim. Either way, Vahatanya, don't we have a brayta elu velu tmeot? That it doesn't matter, the pnimiot and the chitzonot are tmeot. Amar Rami Chama Barukva b'shkli emunato biyado. When this kadar, this potter, is going around and he has a clear that he's selling these. B'nei shiarakol mishameshet bahen. Because if people know that he's a merchant and he's trying to sell them, then people will take a look at them. They'll pull out this one, they'll go to that one, they'll touch everything because they want to look at the merchandise. They want to know what they're buying. So if he's a merchant and it's clear that he's a merchant, people aren't afraid of touching them. But in a case where they're not certain that he's a merchant, then we only worry about the ones that are accessible becoming tamei. Vatanya elu velu tehorot. Don't we have a bride that says they're all tehorot? So amram yicham v'okva b'she'en kli umanato biyado. That's a case where he's a regular citizen. He's not walking around with anything that indicates that he is a merchant or he's selling. So then now we say they're both tamei when he's a merchant. When he's basically doing it for his own benefit, it's his own stuff, then we say that they're both tehorot. So then when's the case of the Mishnah where the pnimiyot are tehorot and the chitzanot are tmeyot? Like it says, ve'elahad etzanan, pnimiyot tehorot, v'chitzanot tmeyot, heicha mishkachada. What's that case? The smicha, the reshut rabim. It's when they are close to the reshut rabim. U'mishum chifufei reshut rabim. And because of the protectors of the reshut rabim. So in their day, we discuss this more in Erevin. I haven't seen it for a while. But the way that the reshut rabim is designed is that there's the central flow of the Reshut Rabim, that's an area that's open. People's houses, and in their day, almost everybody lived adjacent to the Reshut Rabim, or to a place that was a central thoroughfare. If you go up to places like Tzipori, where most of the Roman city is still intact, you can see that. There are two major thoroughfares, and almost all the houses abut those thoroughfares. So what happens is that people are running through the areas, you can see there that there are marks from the chariots and wheel marks from them going through, that if people are driving through, what they're going to do is they're going to bang into the walls that are basically the wall of your chatzer, or possibly the wall of your house. So what do you want to do? You want to move them away from the edges. You don't want people banging into the walls on the side. So today, you know, we have the same thing by sidewalks. We have the sidewalks. Pedestrians go on the sidewalks, the cars are on the road. So now how do you stop cars from going onto the sidewalk? You know, in some places, that's just etiquette that people don't go on the sidewalk. But in other countries, it's acceptable or considered acceptable to drive on the sidewalk or to park on the sidewalk. So how do you stop people from doing that? You can see all over Israel, they put up posts. They put up these concrete posts. Yeah, guardrails, but really these concrete posts that stop the cars from being able to go. So because of that, it won't go on the sidewalk. Same thing over there. In their day, they had chifufe. In order to stop the chariots or everybody who's in the Reshut Rabim who are walking through there from banging into their walls or ruining the walls of their chatzer, the house, they put out these pillars. They put out chifufe, these things that stop people from going. They're basically these guardrails or these posts that they would rub up against, but they would rub against that and not go into their walls. So now the central area is called Reshut Rabim. The areas past the chifufe are called Tzidei Reshut Rabim, or the sides of Reshut Rabim. So what he did was he put his kderot down in the Tzidei Reshut Rabim. So as far as his kderot are concerned, he's not in the central flow of things. But as Reshut Rabim got fuller or got bigger, people, as they walked, got pushed to the sides. And when they got pushed to the side, they rub up against these chifufe, they rub up against those things that are on the Tzidei Reshut Rabim. So that's the case over here. The smicha Reshut Rabim, he has them on the Tzidei Reshut Rabim, shum chifufe Reshut Rabim, because of this overflow or the pressure inside of Reshut Rabim, there are people who come up against the chifufe or against his kederot, and therefore the chitzonot, the outer ones are tamei, because they bump into them and they come to contact with them. Whereas the inner ones, whether it's inside these kelim or the ones closer to the Reshut HaYachid, those are tehorot, because people don't intentionally go and touch them. It's only over here that there's unintentional contact because they're getting pressured in the Reshut Rabim to walk in that manner and to bump in that way. So that's one explanation of how we reconcile between the Mishnah and Demai, and our Mishnah would reconcile the positions Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. V'bai Teima, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan, B'malim B'tshuma L'Yuchasin Kamiflegei. In terms of their positions in collusion, the Mishnah and Demai will dictate what their positions they are, and that is that Rabbi Yehuda does not worry about collusion, and the Chachamim do worry about collusion. The question here in our Mishnah is, if we grant them the right to Truma, what does that do for them? If we grant them the right to eat Truma, does that then allow them to become full-fledged Kohanim and to make them Yuchasin or not? And that's the question. Therefore, if we believe them when they speak about each other, What does that do? Okay, we allow them to eat truma. We said before, that's what the Braita told us, that it qualifies them for truma, but does not qualify them for yichus. The question is, if you qualify them for truma, are they automatically then qualified for yichus? And that's machloket. Mishnah says, the chachamim say no. Therefore, they say it's okay to let them have truma, because that's all they'll get. They won't get anything more. The Bidu says, if you give them truma, then what's going to happen is, people are going to see them having truma. They're going to also give them the right of yichusin. And that's why they argue over here. Nothing to do with collusion. Ibailu, the Gemara has a question here. Ma'u me'alot mishtarot ayuchasin. Are you allowed to use a shtar to make someone go up to yuchasin? While we're on this, we want to figure out from where can a coin be determined. If he's found to be eating truma, we already said that's a machloket Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, as whether we can believe him to be malem the yuchasin. The question now is, if he is found in a shtar that he's a kohen, then well, how do we treat him? Can he be malem? Can we use that to be evidence of the fact that he should be malem the yuchasin? Hechidami, what was the case here? What type of shtar is he found in? Ilei medichti be'ani ploni kohen chatamti aid. So then, man kamasayda levet. If he comes along and he signs a document and says, I am so-and-so Kohen, and that's how he signs the document. So now we're going to believe him that he is a Kohen. Who is testifying about him? He's testifying about himself that he's a Kohen. There's no reason to believe him to say he's a Kohen. Anybody can sign a document and say, you know, so-and-so, the Kohen. You don't have to get any degree to be a Kohen. You simply just write Kohen, and he's a Kohen. There's nobody testifying about him. There's a case where there's a document written which says, an IOU. I, so-and-so, the Kohen, borrowed money from so-and-so. V'chatzimu sadeh. And the Edim sign on the document. And this is the machoket. My. Amaneh shebishtar kamasadeh. When the Edim sign on this, what are they signing on? Are they basically signing on the fact that he owes him the money? They're not signing on the veracity of all the statements in the shtar. They're simply signing on the fact that A owes B money. Odilma kula milta kamasadeh. Or maybe they're testifying about the entirety of the document, the entirety of the contract. So that's the question that's at hand here. If they're testifying about just simply the loan, then we can't guarantee that this guy, just because it says he's a Kohen in there, that he is a Kohen. If they're testifying about everything that's in the contract that they are verifying and validating, that means they also validated that this guy is a Kohen when he writes that in the shtar. Can we believe that? So the Gemara says in the end, Rav Huna, Rav Chista, in conclusion, Rav Huna and Rav Chista over here disagree. Chadamar malin, v'chadamar in malin. Machloket amoraim as to whether a shtar is sufficient in order to elevate someone to yichus of kiuna. Tosfot over here quotes a Gemara in Baba Batra talking about a case where in a city they have two people with the same name. So over there, the Gemara says that if one of them is a Kohen, they should identify him that way. That way they can differentiate in the city. They can say, Yosef ben Matityahu Kohen. Yosef ben Matityahu, without the word Kohen, without that qualifier, then we'll know the difference. Tosfot says over there, then everybody would agree that you can be Malim Mishtarot, the Yuchasin there, because they're clearly being made on the entire shtar there. They're not being made on the Maneh, because the reason they wrote Kohen there was to differentiate him from the other party. So if they're doing that, they're clearly testifying about the fact that he's a Kohen and not the other party. That's what Tosfot says. In that case, where you have parties with the same name, and they identify one of the parties as a Kohen, it's clear there that the Edim are not simply testifying about the fact that there is a loan here, but they're testifying about the individual, that he's a Kohen, because that's how they're differentiating him from the other party. That's what Tosfot says. I don't think that's necessarily correct. I think that Tosfot's making a quantum leap. All they're doing is saying, it's equivalent of someone who says he's known as a doctor, and they say, doctor so-and-so, versus the other individual is not a doctor. Are they testifying the fact that he's a doctor? No, they're just testifying the fact that that's the name, that's what he goes by in this city. Do they go now and say, oh, he has a degree because he's a doctor? No, they don't check that. They just go, this one goes around as Dr. Cohen, and the other guy goes around as Mr. Cohen. So if they just write Dr. Cohen, and they know they're differentiating between the two. They're not validating whether this guy's a doctor. They're just using the title. And I think the same thing with regards to Kohen here. When they say that this is Yosef ben Matityahu Kohen, all they're saying is that that's the term, or that's the qualifier that he goes around with. That doesn't mean that they know he's a Kohen. They just, the way they identify him. So I'm sure there are Rishonim that disagree with Tosafot, because it seems to me that his conclusion is not obvious, that just because they are identifying him as being a Kohen and using that to separate him from another party means that they're testifying about the fact that he is a Kohen. All right, next question is, Ibailu, ma'u la'alot minisiyut kapayim yuchasin. If a person goes up to Duchen to do nisiyut kapayim, can you then elevate him to the Male of Yuchasin by Kohanim? Tibai Lamandamar Malin Michu Alo Yuchasin, Tibai Lamandamar in Malin. We're going to ask this question both according to Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether you think Truma is sufficient or not. According to one who says that we are Maleh from Truma to Yuchasin, that's Rabbi Yehuda's position. That's because Truma is a serious issue. It involves a Mita Bidei Shemayim. People don't play around with that. So if they're already eating Truma, that's why. Just to go up and Dochen, even if you're not a Kohen, at worst, it's an Isur Asay. It's an Asay for Kohanim to go up and Dochen. A person who does it when they're not supposed to is just in violation of an Isur Asay. Oh, Dilmaloshna. Or maybe it makes no difference. People don't like violating Isurim Doraita. So whether it's Mita Yidei Shemayim or an Isur Asay, they're not going to violate an Isur, and therefore maybe we would be Malei Yuchasin. To buy the Mandamar Ein Malim, Hanimili Truma, Dimitachla Betzina. That's by case of Truma, which is a private matter. So in a private matter where the person eats Truma in the privacy of their house, they were not going to be Malei because they don't have to prove to anybody they're a Kohen. They can secretly be eating it and nobody's going to question them. About Nesiut Kapayim for Hesya. Nesiut Kapayim means you get up in front of the whole Tzibur and declare you're a Kohen. If anybody has any questions about this guy, they're certainly going to speak up because they see him in the front of the Tzibur. They know that he's declaring himself a Kohen. If he really wasn't a Kohen, the person has a chutzpah to get up in front of the Tzibur and declare himself a Kohen. Or maybe it makes no difference. We don't differentiate between Truma and Nesiut Kapayim. So the question exists, according to both Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, as whether Nesiut Kapayim suffices. Rav Chista, Rabbi Avina, Chadamar Malim, V'chadamar Ein Malim, Machlokut Amoraim, and so whether that is sufficient or not. Amalei Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Rova, Ma'u Lahalot Minisiut Kapayim Liuchasin. He asked the same question we just dealt with. What is the din with regards to being Malei Minisiut Kapayim Liuchasin? Amalei Plukta, the Rav Chista, Rabbi Avina. What do you mean? We know the conclusion of the Gemara here. It was a Machloket Amoraim. So why you ask him? We know it's a Machloket Amoraim. He says, Hilchot Amai. No, I'm not asking you. That isn't a machloket. I want to know, how do we paskin? Amalei ano matnita yadano. He says, I don't know how to paskin, but I know this braita. The Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yudola chazaka. A chazaka is very powerful. Chazaka means that once someone is already established to be able to do something, we don't take it away from them. Once someone has a right, that right we won't take away from them, even though we may not grant them more rights. Or even though we're suspect about the right that they have, if they already act with that right, we're not going to take it away. Based on the pasuk in Ezra, Shnemar, Bnei Akohanim, Bnei Chavaya, Bnei Akotz, Bnei Barzilai, Barzilai Giladi is clearly a Israel. So there are some questions here. These are Kohanim that come from Barzilai Giladi, which is questionable. How do you have the lineage that goes back to Barzilai Giladi if they are Kohanim? Asher lakach mi bnot Barzilai Giladi, Isha, Veikarei al Shemam. And then they were called based on his name. He was a big gun, Barzilai Giladi. And therefore they were known as the Kohanim of Barzilai. Eile bikshu tavam, ha'mit yachsim. They went to check out their documents of yichus. I mean, that's what they were checking into, to make sure they were really Kohanim. They were asking for their yichus. Velo nimtzu. And they were not found. They couldn't find any documentation that they were Kohanim. Va'yigo'alu min ha'kuna. They were rejected or pushed away from the kuna because they couldn't prove that they were Kohanim. Vayomer Hartir Shata Lahem, who is, according to the Navi Nehemiah, Asher lo yuchlu mikodesh hakodeshim ad amod kohen leurim, that they are not allowed now to eat from the kodesh hakodeshim. They're not allowed to take from kodesh, meaning that they're not allowed to get pieces as kohanim from the korbanot ad amod kohen leurim. The urim here is the urim v'tumim, and we know in the bayit sheni there was no urim v'tumim. It's one of the five things that was missing in the bayit sheni. When you say, until there's a Kohen with an Urim Tumim, it means, Ad Zman Mashiach. It's basically saying, Ad Biat Goal Tzedek. Until the time Mashiach comes, you will not be able to participate in the Kodashim. Amar Lehem, basically he says to them, Hare Atem Bichezkatchem, Bameh Shehitem Ochlim Bigola. That in the Gola, you guys used to eat things that were mutar for Kohenim in the Gola, which is, Bikotshi Agvul. That means that when you were in Bavel, you acted like Kohenim, and you got the Kodeshim of the Gvul, which is Truma. You ate Zro Lechaim and Keba. You ate the Truma. Truma is the bigger deal. So that you ate when you were in the Gola. So Afkan, the Kodeshim of the Gvul. So too, now when you've made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, will allow you to continue to eat Truma, like you did in the Bavel. V'isa kodatcho malim nisiyut kapayim yuchasin. If that's the case, that you think that you can be malim from nisiyut kapayim yuchasin, honey, came in the parse yadayu. In the Gola, they dochened. They did Nesiut Kapayim when they were in Bavel. They did it every day there in Bavel, so they were definitely doing Nesiyat Kapayim. So too, when they came to Eretz Yisrael, they're going to do Nesiyat Kapayim, because we just said that anything they were mukzak to do in Bavel, they can continue doing Eretz Yisrael, even though we won't grant them the additional rights of Kohanim. We're suspect about their yichus. So what Nehemiah says to them is, do whatever you did before, which is Duchen, and have Truma, but new things that are with the Mikdash, that's new stuff you won't be able to participate in, because we won't allow you to be a Kohen in those instances. So if that's the case, Atila Sukinu, if we believe that you can be Malah in a Nesiyat Kapayim to Yichus, then if they're Duchening, you have to worry about the fact they're going to be Malah. So what do you see from this? They definitely don't take people from Duchening up to the Yichus, because otherwise these individuals would be very problematic. They'd be Duchening, and then we say, ah, they Duchen, then for sure they're Miuchasim and they're Kohanim, they're going to make a mistake. I say, Shani Yocha. Over here, that's not the case. Dereo Chazkayu. Their chazaka has holes in it. Now, what does that mean? Rashi says that their chazaka has holes in it because Hakol Roim Shar Kohanim Ochlim Kodshei HaMikdash. Everybody else sees other Kohanim participating in Kodshei HaMikdash. Vein Einam Ochlim. And they don't eat. So Yesh Kan Heker Gadol Sheyesh Bem Tzad Psul. So it's obvious that there's something wrong with these people, and that ruins their chazaka, and they won't be Malah Mi Duchan to the Yuchasin, even though they are Duchanin, and you would normally be Malah Mi Duchan to the Yuchasin. Tosfot, on the other hand, says that he doesn't think that that's right in terms of Reo Chazkayu. Rather, he says it references back to the Pasuk. They have a problem with their Chazakah because they can't get their documents together. They can't get their Yichus over here. So there's some suspicion about them, and that's what it means, Reo Chazkayu. We're not going to worry about the fact that people are going to be Malam the Yuchasin because they don't have any documents of Yuchasin. They couldn't find them. So by definition, their Chazakah is going to be weakened and people will not be Malam Otam, Miduchan the Yuchasin. But that's an answer to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak to say that that bright does not approve that we are not Maleh Mi Nisiyot Kapayim Yuchasin, because if we were over here, we wouldn't necessarily be Maleh these individuals, because there's already questions and people know there are questions about them, either because they're not eating Kodshei Kodashim or Kodshim at all, or because they don't have any Sefer Yichus, which already makes them suspect. Right, so now, Gilo Tema Ochi, if you don't say that, the Man Damar Maleh Mi Truma Yuchasin, Kem Dachli Bichuma Ate Luskinu. Wait a minute, because if you don't say that, we also had a machloket about whether Ramala Mitchuma the Yuchasin, why don't you worry about that over here? You're granting them Chuma, and they're saying, oh, they ate Chuma in Bavel, now they can eat Chuma in Eretz Yisrael. Well, if they eat Chuma, and if you Ramala Mitchuma the Yuchasin, like Rabbi Yehuda says, then why isn't that a problem to grant them Chuma in Eretz Yisrael? So Gemara says, El Allah Mishum Dereya Chazkayu. It must be because their Chazaka was already problematic, or there were holes in their Chazaka. So then, if the Gemara says, Velamai Gdola Chazaka, then what's the chazakah? What's the point of the chazakah? If you're going to say now that we're not malalem truma leyuchasin, and we're not malal otam nisiyut kapayim to yuchasin, then what's gedola chazakah over here? What are they getting? What's the benefit of the chazakah over here? What, they did what they did before? Okay, that's not, what's the gedola? Why is it such a big chazakah? So the meikara achol b'truma derabanan, hashta achol b'truma deoraita. Truma in Bavel is clearly only truma midrabanan, because it's a mitzvah atzuliyah ba'aretz. So therefore, it's clearly only Chuma Dirabanan. So even though they only ate Chuma Dirabanan, in Bavel, the Gdola Chazakah is that the Chazakah is powerful enough now to allow them to eat Chuma Doraita in Eretz Yisrael. If you're going to tell me that they just continue to do whatever they did in Bavel, okay, that's a Chazakah, but that's not Gdola Chazakah. Gdola Chazakah says they got a benefit, they upgraded. There they only ate Chuma Dirabanan. Now they eat Chuma Doraita. Okay, yes, they won't get Malah Yuchsin from Chuma, they won't be Malah Yuchsin from Tziut Kapayim. And even if you believe that people are normally will, here they won't, because there's a hole in their Chazaka. But they still got a benefit from their Chazaka. What's the benefit from their Chazaka? Before it was Chuma Derabanan, now they get to eat Chuma Doraita. Achol. So some people say, no, the only thing that they benefit was, just like they ate Chuma Derabanan in Bavel, they still eat Chuma Derabanan in Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Gemara says, V'chim askinim eat Chuma Deyuchasin. When do we say that we elevate people from Chuma Deyuchasin? B'Chuma Deoraita. That's only when they eat Chuma Deoraita. B'Chuma Derabanan lo maskinan. But by Chuma Derabanan, we aren't elevating these individuals. And that's why there's no change. But then, if there's no change, then you have the same question again, which is, Ela Magdola Chazaka. Then what did the Chazaka do that got them any added benefit? They ate Chuma Derabanan before, they ate Chuma Derabanan now, great, nothing changed. The Mylor, the Chazaka, protect them was that, even though now they're coming to Eretz Yisrael and they're eating Chuma Derabanan, where we would worry about the fact that they eat Chuma Derabanan here, they might come to eat Chuma Deoraita, we still allow them to eat Chuma Derabanan. There's a reason to believe, even though they ate Chuma Derabanan in Bavel, we wouldn't allow them to eat Truma Derabanan in Eretz Yisrael because Truma Derabanan might lead to Truma Deoraita. So therefore we say that's the Gedola Chazakah, that even though they only ate Truma Derabanan in Bavel where there was no suspicions of, or no issues of Truma Deoraita, we still allow them when they come to Eretz Yisrael to eat Truma Derabanan, even though it might lead to Truma Deoraita. As Rashi defines over here, it's Machlok Rishonim, Rashi defines Truma Derabanan as Perot Ha'ilan and Yerek. Those are things that even in Eretz Yisrael are Truma Derabanan. If it's a mitzvah Tuliyah Ba'aretz, there's still certain items that only are Truma Derabanan, even in Eretz Yisrael. On the other hand, Dagan, Tirosh, and Tsar, which are explicitly mentioned in the Pasuk, those are Truma Deoraita. Perot Te'ilan is actually a Machlok Rishonim. Over here, Rashi makes it clear that he thinks that Perot Te'ilan are Derabanan, just like Yerek is Derabanan. Everybody agrees that Yerek is Derabanan. And that's what we're talking about, Truma Derabanan in Eretz Yisrael, that even in Eretz Yisrael, there's certain produce that is only Truma Midrabanan. Okay, we're going to stop over here, 8 lines down on the top of Chav Hei Amud Aleph.